In the church, the most important word is fellowship. Fellowship in two directions, vertical, horizontal. With God, with one another. With God first, and with one another. I want to encourage you to buy two books, if you haven't already got them, before you leave. If you don't have the money, we'll give it to you even free. If you have the money, pay for it, because we can give it to somebody poorer than you. That's the only reason we ask people to pay for the books. We like to give to the poor. One book is what Brother Joji Samuel mentioned yesterday, The Congregation, the Club, and the Church, written by Santosh Poonen. We have it in Hindi, we have it in Malayalam, we have it in Tamil, we have it in Telugu, and in English, and in Romanian. So, and it may be translated into other languages. We don't have all those languages here, but if you need any of them and you give your address, we'll put you in touch with those who are distributing those books. It's only a small booklet. You can read it in a couple of hours. 32 pages, small booklet. I would really encourage you to read it to find out if you're in a congregation or a club or a church. And if you have a burden to buy at least one extra copy to give it to somebody in some other church who's a believer, so that he can discover whether he's in a true church or not. That's how we can help others. If we are not bold enough to witness to people, we can give them a cheap book. It doesn't cost much. Have a burden to witness to others, not only that Christ died for our sins, but what a church is like. You've experienced it. It's a very easy way to witness. Instead of spending 25 rupees on a birthday card, spend 10 rupees in a book. And give that as a birthday gift. And you can bless them more than with that birthday card which you'll tear up and throw away. I really want to encourage you to pass this on to other Christians who you can help. It can be a form of witness to them. And you can help them. And if you know them well, their blood will not be on your hands in the day of judgment, because you've told them the truth. The second book is a book that I took 43 years to write. It's called God's Work, Done in God's Way. That's a little thicker book. It's the first two chapters speak about our own experience in building a new covenant church, and the remaining chapters speak about certain principles of spiritual leadership. And I also want to say, if you have an internet connection, you can read both of these books free on the internet at your convenience. You can download it onto your phone and read it conveniently anytime. We have tried to provide everything we have free. Every book of ours is freely available on the internet. Even Through the Bible is available in video, 70 hours on video. We have a CFC app which you can download onto your phone from your Play Store. And that has all the Bible studies that we have, many hundreds of hours that with that app you can access for personal life, for foundational truths, for building the church. Entire New Testament, verse by verse, from Matthew 1 to the last verse of Revelation, a study of every verse. Everything is there. It's all free. I've heard many years ago the statement, the devil is always stealing, man is always selling, and God is always giving free. The devil is always stealing, man is always selling, and God is always giving free. We want to be like God. And even the books that we ask you to pay for is only to print more books. If you want it free, everything is available on the internet free for the whole world. That's how we believe Jesus would want us to do it. And that's how we've done it. So encourage you, please remember these two books, The Congregation, The Club and The Church, and God's Work Done in God's Way. I believe it will be a blessing to you, both of them. That book also, God's Work Done in God's Way, prayerfully give it also to others who may be helped to see how God's work should be done. Pastors, preachers, be a witness. Give it prayerfully, not in a condemnatory way. Oh, you're not doing it right. Here, read this. No, God will not bless that. God loved the world and came to save it. He did not come here to condemn. The message of condemnation is not the message of the new covenant. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. I've seen people give out tracts down the street, walking down the street, tract. Everybody who comes, you go 100 yards up the street, you see most of the tracts on the floor. I've seen people put tracts in parking lots on the windshield wipers of cars. And those people come and pick it up and say, who is this wretched Christian who tries to put a tract on my windshield wiper? That's not the way to witness. You offend people. You know, God so loved the world. And Jesus was known as a friend of sinners before He was known as the Savior of sinners. We must present Jesus as a friend before we present Him as a Savior, not as a legal judge. He's going to be a judge one day, but that is in the future. Don't present an old covenant God to people. The God is the same, but the old covenant understanding of God was more under the law. Today, our understanding of God is clearer. So it's very important that whatever we do with prayer and in love. If you cannot do it in love, don't do it. All that you do must be done in love. If it cannot be done in love, don't do it. Do you know this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 16? And verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. A-L-L. Let all that you do be done in love. For many years, I think for about 30 years, I've had that verse framed up in a big wall plaque in my house. Let all that you do be done in love, to remind me all the time. I have a couple of other verses also in my house. If you fear God, you need fear nothing else. I've told the story once of a local city official who came to my house to try and frighten me. He wanted a bribe from me, saying, we have a question about the taxes you're paying for your house. We think you have not given a correct dimension of your house and you're not paying enough tax. I said, sir, we have given the correct dimension and I always pay the correct taxes. No, there's a question about it and I'll have to deal with this. And I know these techniques. They want some money. Say, okay, well, here's some money, keep quiet about it. But I was absolutely right, so I was not afraid. Then I said, sir, you see this verse on top of my head? If you fear God, you need fear nothing else. This is how I live all my life. God bless you. He went away, never came back for the last 30 years. I don't think he'll ever come back. Now, I'm not saying you put that verse to frighten away city officials. Live in the fear of God. The other verse I have is, if you love God, He will make everything work for your good. I wish the thieves who came to my house would have read that, but they probably don't know English. Others, they would have seen they're doing me some good now. I believe that. There's never been a person till today, believe me, who's been able to harm me. Never. Not one person alive has been able to harm me today. Whatever they try, it has always worked for my good. mistakes that doctors have done in trying to treat me, I worked for my good. Believe it or not, I have no complaint against the doctors who made mistakes in some treatment of mine. No. You think God was not watching when the doctor was doing that? What a lot of complaints people have against doctors. Oh, he gave me the wrong medicine, or the surgery messed up. Brother, your problem is not the doctor. Your problem is you don't love God. You're not called according to His purpose. That's your problem. Don't blame that fellow. If you have a complaint against a single human being, I'll tell you the reason. You're not enduring in love. You don't love Jesus with all your heart. That's all. That's the reason. At least from today onwards, stop all your complaints against people and say, Lord, the problem is that I don't love you. And so all things are not working for my good. Why blame him? Why blame pickpockets and thieves and crooks and those who harm you or take you to court or try to hurt you or hurt your children? Lord, I love you. I have no desire to live on this earth for anything but to fulfill your purpose and your will for my life. Tell me who can harm me. Either that or you don't believe the word of God. If you don't believe the word of God, I'll tell you, take the Bible and tear it up and throw it in the trash can. Give it to the garbage man. Don't keep it there as a holy book on your table and you don't even read it and you don't believe it. That's disfooling people. It's fooling people, keeping the Bible as a holy book there for everybody to see, and you don't read it, you don't believe it. No. Throw it away. Believe it and obey it, otherwise it's useless. And then you will see in every situation, God is in control. So these are the two or three verses I have in my house. And for many years I had another verse, Galatians 1:10, if I seek to please men, I cannot please be a servant of Christ. That's now written in my head. I had it in my sitting room for years. If I seek to please men, I cannot be the servant of Christ. And it's drilled into my head. I will never in my life to seek to please any man. I will not even seek to please my fellow elders. No. I'm willing to speak the truth to my fellow elders in India. If they get hurt, they get hurt. But I'll speak it in love, that's for sure. If I don't speak it in love, I'll go home and repent. But if I speak it in love, sometimes love, open rebuke, is better than secret love. And the Bible says in the Psalms that one way to pour the anointing oil upon people's heads is by smiting them. Have you read that verse in the Psalms? Let the righteous smite me. It is like oil on my head. Yeah, so sometimes we have to do that. But never anything not in love. I believe when Jesus used the whip, he used it in love. So that those fellows who were making money would wake up and not go to hell. I hope some of them repented after Jesus used the whip. Always his aim was to save people. Whether he forgave the adulteress or used a whip, his aim was always, got to save this person from the deception of the devil. So love is very strong sometimes. It's not a wishy-washy saying nice things. Firm. You can't be a good elder if you don't have grace and truth. If you don't see the kindness and the severity of God. Both. But that's one thing the Lord showed me once in Isaiah 61. About the kindness and the severity of God. Isaiah 61, we read, this is the verse that Jesus quoted when he spoke in the synagogue in Nazareth in Luke chapter 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Isaiah 61:1, because he's anointed me to bring the good news to the afflicted and so on. And verse 2, listen to this, to proclaim two things, the year of favor and the day of judgment. 365 days of favor, one day of judgment. God is loving 365 times more than he is judging people. That's what I see in that verse. He has called me to proclaim 365 days of favor. And in the church, I want to proclaim 365 days of favor And one day of judgment. That's the proportion. It's not just God is kind and God is severe. God is 365 times more kind than he is severe. That's what I see in that verse. It's not 50-50. So that must be like that in my life. We're not usually like that. Usually most of us begin with 365 days of severity and one day of kindness. How is it with your children? Ask them whether you're more severe or kind. There must be kindness and severity. Otherwise, you're not a good father or mother. But kindness is the basis on which we can be strict. That's and if you really love a child, and the child has seen your tremendous love and compassion, one day when you correct it and spank it, you know what it'll do after you've spanked it? It'll come and hug you. I would always pray with my children after I punish them in some way. Because I say, my dear boy, you've sinned against God, not just me. We must ask His forgiveness. So, love is strong. Let all that you do be done in love. And fellowship, as I said, 1 John chapter 1. Love brings fellowship. John is writing at the end of his life, and he says, I'm not preaching a doctrine. I'm telling you what I have heard, 1 John 1:1, what I've seen, what I've looked at, what I've touched, the word of life. The word of life was made flesh in a human being. In the Old Testament, it was in a book, printed or handwritten those days. And they had to get word was in a book, the word of the law. And the scribes would explain it to us. But then God sent his son, and that word which was in a book came as flesh. The word became flesh in Jesus Christ. And that is the word of life. And that we could see. We could hear, we could touch. And then Jesus said before he went up to heaven, as the Father sent me, so send I you. So I am now to let that word become flesh in me. The word of God must become flesh in me so that people can see and touch and hear the word of life. That is Christ speaking through me. Loving through me, looking through me, hearing the problems of people through me. The Word dwelt in the flesh, came in flesh. And this life, verse 2, was manifested. Not a doctrine, not a word, a life was manifested. And I want to ask you, brothers, is that life being manifested? Can people say, we have seen, verse 2, and we testify? We can proclaim to you this eternal life, which is not a doctrine, which is with the Father and was manifested to us in Jesus Christ, and now to be manifested through you and me. In John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Who is the light of the world today? Not Jesus Christ. You read Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So I sometimes surprise people when they ask me, who's the light of the world? I say, me and my fellow believers. They say, Brother Zach, you're so arrogant. You and your fellow believers are the light of the world. Yeah, I see. I believe what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. You don't believe it. That's the problem. I believe what Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, that we are the light of the world, the church. And I also believe what Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse 5, that he's the light of the world only as long as he's in the world. He's not in the world today. He's made us the light of the world. So many things in the Bible Christians don't preach. How many preachers have you heard? Tell me in your whole life, you've heard many preachers. Have you heard any preacher say to you, follow me as I follow Christ? You hear them say, listen to me, do what I say. No, I'm not talking about that. There are hundreds of preachers like that. There are politicians like that. I'm talking about someone who can follow me, follow my example. As I follow Christ. Paul said that. We can follow Paul and say the same thing, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, look at my life. Come and live in my home. See how I talk to my wife every day, morning till night. See how I wish you could come home. See how I brought up my children 30 years ago. Come and look at all my finances. See how I handle my finances. See the type of books I read. See the type of things I look at on internet or anywhere. Come anytime. Surprise me. Come and see what I'm watching on the internet or reading. Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm not perfect. Christ has reached the mountaintop, but I see his footsteps and I'm getting closer and closer and closer. I'm not saying I've reached the top. Paul said, I'm not perfect, but forgetting how much I walked, I press towards that mark. But do you see my footsteps? You can follow me. It's like somebody climbing a mountain. You see, in the snow, you see the footsteps. And he says, follow me. He's not saying he's reached the peak. No. But he says, look at my footsteps and follow me. And you will reach the peak. Jesus is at the top. I'm trying to get there. So when you say, follow me as I follow Christ, you're not saying you're perfect. But you're pressing on to perfection. You see, that's why we have this verse on our pulpit. Let us press on to perfection. People read that and say, oh, you guys think you're perfect. I say, no, you haven't read it properly. Yes, we are saying, let us press on to perfection. That is, we are acknowledging we are not perfect. You're the guys who don't believe in that verse. You think you're perfect. We are not. But we are pressing on to perfection. We're not sitting back and saying we are not perfect. We are not perfect, but we are pressing on to perfection. Every day. And every conference will help us to press on a little more to perfection. But it's a life we want to manifest, not a doctrine. And we want to proclaim this eternal life which is with the Father, which is manifested in Christ, and which is now being manifested in the church. And what is the purpose of all this? It's not just to show off, hey, this is what we preach in CFC, and these are the type of people we have produced in CFC. No. Or these are the type of families we have produced in CFC. No. The purpose is, verse 3, that you may have fellowship, that wonderful word, fellowship, not friendship, not a congregation or a club, but a church, that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And you cannot have fellowship with us if you don't come into fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. You can have friendship. I can be friendly with anybody in the world, even an atheist. I can be friendly with, as I said, pickpockets or robbers who cheat me. I have got no enemies. I've got zero enemies in the world. Zero. But fellowship I have with very few. There's a outer court fellowship. There's a holy place fellowship. And there's a most holy place fellowship. Jesus had that outer court fellowship. 70 disciples whom he sent out. Holy place fellowship with 11. And then a closer fellowship with 3. It's like that with me also. There's an outer court fellowship. There's a ministry fellowship. And there's a fellowship with those who worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So, like Jesus had the small circle, 3 circles. I also have 3 circles of fellowship in CFC churches. I don't have equal fellowship with all the elders. I'll tell you honestly. I don't have equal fellowship with all the brothers and sisters. There are 3 degrees. It doesn't depend on me. I'm not the one who makes a choice. They are the ones who make a choice which of these areas they want to live in. If you want to live in the most holy place, you have to deny yourself every single day. Rend the veil. The veil is rent, but you've got to walk the way of the rent veil every day. You'll automatically come into fellowship with all those who are in the most holy place. But if you're not denying yourself, you're seeking to exalt yourself, seeking something for yourself, you may be either in the outer court or in the holy place. Good. Thank God you're not outside the camp. At least you're born again. Okay. But you won't have fellowship with the truly godly worshippers of Christ. And you will see the loss that has come to you only when Christ comes again. I hope you realize it now. I often say in our church that if you listen to everything I teach you, you will see in the judgment seat of Christ that you were saved from so much of spiritual loss. You will have no regret if you take everything that I say seriously and say, Lord, give me the power of the Holy Spirit to live according to this. I guarantee you'll have no regret in the day of judgment. Fellowship with the Father and with one another. And that is the way, verse 4, that our joy can be full. The Christian life is one full of joy. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy. In the Old Testament, it was righteousness. Full stop. No peace and joy. In the New Testament, it's righteousness plus peace and joy. If you have a righteousness without peace in your heart towards God and towards every human being, and without constant joy in your heart, it is an old covenant righteousness. You're paying your taxes, you're not cheating anybody, you're upright and you don't lust after women and you do so many things which are good. But there's no peace in your heart. You're in unrest all the time about something. Somebody cheated you or somebody did something against you, or you don't like that person or the other person in the church, and you're always in unrest. And you don't have a joy all the time. That's not new covenant righteousness. New covenant righteousness in the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy. Psalm 16:11. In His presence is fullness of joy. How do I know I have fellowship with the Father? Your joy will be full, it says in verse 4. Psalm 16:11 says it is only in the Father's presence there is fullness of joy. And any time in my life I lack that fullness of joy, I say to myself, at this moment I am not in my Father's presence. There may be 101 things going wrong around me in the world. I refuse to let my joy go away, because whatever may happen around me in the world, I'm going to live in the Father's presence. Whatever news which people call bad news, there is no bad news for me. Everything, Romans 8:28, everything is good news for me. The worst news that you can think of, come and tell me. I believe I convert it to good news from Romans 8:28. And therefore, I'm full of joy. I'm in the Father's presence. If there's anything that comes to you that disturbs you, immediately you know you are not living in the Father's presence. And I thank God for such situations, because that wakes me up. Hey, you're not living in the Father's presence. Thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank God for the situations that come in our life that show us we are not living in the Father's presence, even though we have got all the theory of the new covenant and we can even teach other people the new covenant, but we don't have joy in our heart. We're gloomy, depressed, looking sad at other people. It's like the gloomy-looking Christian who went to witness to somebody and said, would you like to be born again? And he looked at his face and said, no, thank you. I've got enough problems already. I've got enough problems already. Thank you. I don't want your Christianity looking at your face. Is that the type of Christianity that you are portraying to others? I believe in the Father's presence is fullness of joy. And I have said to myself, particularly in the last few years, I say to myself, I'm not here to judge you. Anytime I don't have fullness of joy, I am not in the Father's presence. Anytime I don't have peace in my heart, something is wrong. I don't have fellowship with the Father. Maybe I don't love God at this time enough, or maybe I don't love people enough. That's why this peace is lost. See, Colossians and chapter 3. These are things I have taught for 40 years. And I don't mind repeating it for new generation growing up. Children who have grown up who have never heard these things before. New people who have come to the church. Some preachers are afraid to preach the same message again in the church. I'm not afraid. Because I say newcomers have come. I have to teach them. Our children have grown up. What's he saying? I preached on that 20 years ago. 20 years ago, they were little one-year-olds. They couldn't understand it. I have to preach it again. That's why I keep on preaching the same messages. And I say, if you're tired of hearing the same messages, go somewhere else. I read the same Bible. I don't get a new Bible every year. It's the same Bible I read every year. that I've read for 60 years, and I always get something out of it. So I'm not afraid of preaching the same message. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of Christ be the referee in your heart. Great verse. You know, all those who play games, you know, referee. Blow the whistle. Stop the game. If you're playing soccer, or football as we call it here. When the referee blows the whistle, it's no use. You can say, well, everybody's standing still. Good time for me to kick the goal. Go run around and kick the goal. And say, the referee will say, bring it back. That's not a goal. You thought everybody's standing still and it's a good time for you to go and score a goal. You haven't understood the rules of the game. When the referee blows the whistle, everything stops. Let the peace of Christ be the referee. Any time in your life, peace has gone from your heart. Stop. No kicking the ball, no nothing. And the referee will say, don't take, keep the ball there. Bring the ball to the exact spot where the foul was committed. You can't keep the ball there, you've got to bring it here. Find the exact thing that caused the lack of peace in your heart. What was it? Something that person said, something the other person did yesterday, something that your mother-in-law told you. Bring the ball to that spot and say, Lord, what my mother-in-law told me disturbed me tremendously. And seek for peace. With your mother-in-law? Yes, even with your mother-in-law. There's only one person we are not allowed to seek peace with. That's the devil. Don't say your mother-in-law is like the devil. It doesn't matter. Satan is the only person with whom you must not seek peace. Whoever you are, and I'm serious. I know there are people sitting here who have problem with their mother-in-law or their daughter-in-law or their father-in-law or their brother-in-law. Let them have a problem. Why should you have a problem? Why should you lose your peace? Why should you lose your joy because that fellow has lost it? He cheated you. God can give you much more than this. You remember that verse? 2 Chronicles 25. God can give you much more than this. Many people have cheated me in my life. It is part of my education. I would not be able to preach today if people had not cheated me. I would not be able to preach today if I did not lose money through my own mistakes. I would not be able to preach today if I had not gone through physical pain, suffering, through the mistakes of doctors, through criminal cases filed against me, through thieves coming into my house. I mean, that's a recent education. But I'm getting an education all the time. God says, your education is not over. I said, praise the Lord. Everything is for my good. I'm getting an education. I'm going from 10th standard to 11th standard to 12th standard. I'm going to college. I'm going to first college degree and second college degree. I'm going to postgraduate. I want to finish with whatever Jesus had all the way at the end. Do you want that? Then face everything you face. And say, Lord, give me the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome this. I will remain in joy. I will remain in peace through the power of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. If you don't have these three, whatever you talk about being filled with the Spirit is a lot of garbage fit for the trash can. If you can't love people, you're not filled with the Spirit. Anybody, I don't care how bad that person is. Again, I say the only person you must not love is the devil. I don't care who the other person is. It's got nothing to do with the other person. Look at the flowers which give a beautiful smell. I mean, I don't know which of the flowers have the most beautiful smell. Is it the rose? Whatever it is. The flower doesn't say, who's this guy coming to smell me? Is it a bad person? Then I won't give a smell. Or I'll give a bad smell. Is it a nice person? I'll give a good smell. Which flower in the world behaves like that? It's got nothing to do with the person. It's got to do with the flower. And that's how it is. If God does a work in you, it'll have nothing to do with who comes and does something to you. How can your nature be affected by that other person? No. You can't make a dove into a vulture by treating it badly or shouting at it. No. I remember hearing a story True story of a man who was living in a house and a dove came and built a nest there just outside the window. That's so wonderful. A symbol of peace. And he said every time he banged the door in the house, the dove would fly off. If he yelled at his wife, the dove would fly off. I said, this is great. I wish we could have a dove in all of our houses. Since we are not listening to the Holy Spirit, at least a dove with its nest telling us something is wrong here. It's a true story. When peace is gone, your fellowship with God is gone. When joy is gone, whatever you may say you're in a CFC church, you're not in fellowship with God. We believe in fellowship with God and with one another. As we read in 1 John 1, 1 John 1, 5, and this is the message if you want to live in this fellowship. 1 John 1, 5, God is light. And there is no darkness at all in him. There are two things that John says. God is. Read the Bible slowly, read the Bible carefully, compare scripture with scripture. And I find this. God is, number one, light. And number two, God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8. God is light. 1 John 1, 5. God is love. 1 John 4, 8. It's the same thing. So I understand light is love. God is light, God is love. So to walk in the light, verse 1 John 1, 7, if we walk in the light, if we walk in love, as he is in love, we have fellowship. Otherwise, we don't have fellowship. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from those areas of our life where we don't have light. Don't worry, there are many areas in our life where we don't have light. Don't feel condemned. The blood of Jesus will take care of that. But in the area where you have light, walk in love. Endure in love till the end. Are you having difficult people in your life? God is allowing you to face them so that you can learn to love. So that you can get a promotion to the next class. Do you want your children to get promoted next year to the next standard in school? What about you yourself? Supposing you tell your child, oh, sir, my son, today is examination day. Don't go to school. No. Examination is tough. And your son will sit in the same class next year also. Because in many Indian schools, it's the final examination that determines whether you get promoted or not. And you don't send your child to school on the examination, he'll sit in the same class. You say, no, the examination is tough. Go the other days when they play marbles and do so many things like that. The school or the cricket and all that type of stuff. Today's examination day. Those trials that come to your life, that's the examination day. God says it's for your promotion. Don't run away from it. That's the day you need to go to school. That's the day you need to face the trial. Pass the examination and you'll find next year you're in a higher class. And like that, class by class by class, we progress. Why is it so many believers? I see them in different places. They are in exactly the same place they were when I first saw them. Some of them are worse. I'm talking about CFC believers. I can speak to a person for 5 minutes and discern where they stand spiritually. It's not because I'm God. It's just because I've been serving the Lord for 53 years and dealt with many, many people. And God gives the gift of discernment to his servants so that they are not deceived. So as I travel around, I'm not here to judge other churches, but the churches I have a responsibility for, believers from other churches, I have zero responsibility for. I don't judge them. I don't discern them. I'm not interested to know whether they are spiritual, whether they are growing, they are not growing. I have zero interest in them because I have no responsibility. If my neighbor's child is misbehaving, I have no responsibility to correct him. And so many believers in other churches, I have zero responsibility for them. I don't judge them. I don't correct them. I say, if they want to go to hell, they can go to hell. I'm not here to stop them. But the ones who choose to come under my authority and my responsibility, I have a responsibility to tell them. And sometimes I speak very strong words. Sometimes it needs surgery. But I always tell them, remember, the knife in my hand is not the knife of a murderer. It's the knife of a surgeon. It's not to kill you. It is to remove the cancer from you. It's painful. But I'll give you some anesthetics, some words of comfort, and you'll be all right. But if you resist that removal of the cancer, you live with the cancer forever. I will not force you. If you say, no, doctor, I don't want that. Okay, live with your cancer. Dear brothers, if you have a God-fearing elder who cares enough for you to point out that you have cancer in your life and is enough also willing to do a surgery for you for free, value such an elder brother. If you have one like that, a shepherd after God's heart in your church, you should be thankful more than all the fellows who flatter you and tell you all types of things, or the people who don't even bother about your spiritual life, whether you're sinking or drowning, they don't bother about you. Be thankful for those who walk in the light and challenge you to walk in the light. You'll be thankful for them in the day of judgment. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Endure in love until the end. 1 Corinthians 11 has been a verse that's greatly comforted me. Verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11:31. If we judge ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. What do I need to judge myself rightly? Am I walking in love to God? If you love me, keep my commandments. Am I keeping His commandments? Am I walking in love with my fellow believer? I have to judge myself, not him. I'm not here to find out whether he's walking in love with me. He will not walk in love with me because he may be an unbeliever. Or he's a believer who doesn't have light. Why should he walk in love? I cannot have a demand. My wife must walk in love. Who said that? My husband must walk in love. My neighbor must walk in love. My fellow believers must walk in love. Or even my elder must walk in love. No. Don't have any demands on anyone. I must walk in love. Full stop. And if I judge myself rightly, I only got to judge myself one thing. In this situation, am I walking in love with God, obeying His commandments? Am I walking in love towards my fellow believer or stranger or anybody? And if I judge myself where I did something wrong or I have a wrong attitude, I cleanse myself. If I keep living like that, in the day of judgment, listen to this. In the day of judgment, when my turn comes to stand before Christ, He'll say, my son, I have nothing to say. I have a crown of righteousness for you. You have judged yourself faithfully without judging others every day of your life. And you presented my life to others by your life. Maybe you couldn't preach well, doesn't matter. You presented my life to others. I have nothing. We will not be judged. And I have said that many times in CFC churches. Dear brothers and sisters, we are preparing people for the final examination. We are preparing people for the final judgment. That's why we speak strongly. It's like these tuition colleges they have for those who want to get medical entrance and entrance into the technical IITs and all. It's a very high standard. It's tough. They give you a tough syllabus too. But then when you pass, you get a very good admission to a good college and a good job. CFC is like that. Very high standards, tough things to standard. But the end of it, what will happen in the final day? The Lord says to you 100%. Do you want to hear the Lord saying to you 100% in the final day? We will not be judged means what? You have judged yourself rightly in everything on earth. Enduring in love until the end towards the Lord and towards one another. May it be so. And I shall proclaim this as long as I live, as long as God gives me breath. And I pray that you will also pass on that message to others. Walk in that first. Let that life which is with the Father manifested in Jesus Christ now be manifest in you and me. to a world that only hears doctrines and sermons and other things from preachers, let them see a life. So that you can also, even if you're a very new believer, say, follow me as I follow Christ. Ask yourself one question, whether you're like Jesus in one area. What is your reaction to children? I don't mean your own children. How do you react to other people's children coming to you? Are children drawn to you or you push them away? Then you're a Pharisee. If children, not your children, if other people's children are not drawn to you when you meet them in your church, I want to say to you in Jesus' name, you're a Pharisee. Children were drawn to Jesus. The more we become like Christ, little children will be happy to come to us. They won't be scared. They won't be shooed away. That's one test. There are many other tests the Holy Spirit can show you. Look at the life of Jesus and follow it. What is your attitude to money? You can easily find out whether you're following Jesus or not. Yeah, I don't have to say everything. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Let us pray now. I hope there's a spirit of thankfulness in you for all that God gave you in these days. In broken words, through different people, the Lord tried to minister something to you, to give you something for all the trouble and expense that you took to come here. God says, I've given you something that you can take home, which is much more valuable than all the money you spent traveling here and all the difficulties you took coming here. I've given you something that will change your whole life for the future, that can give you 100% in the day of judgment. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and care for us. We want to live in the goodness of that all our days. Bless everyone who's here. Encourage them. Help them to be true disciples. Raise up shepherds, raise up apostles and prophets in this land. What a need there is. For the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Raise up apostles and prophets, Lord. And shepherds and evangelists and teachers as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.